Let's humble our hearts before Almighty Yahweh. Father, as we approach you on this Sabbath day, we look at our lives as well as we look at you, and we compare. Are we living up to your word? For we know that you are the standard for all righteousness, and we as we live this life, learn, grow, we look to you as the answer to all our problems, for we know one day that in your kingdom, all these things will be solved, all the issues will be taken care of, and that we can join you in a glorious life without end, if we remain faithful now. We're so grateful that we can come before you on your Sabbath day to learn more about you as we keep your Sabbath, and as we honor you as you have commanded us. We pray that you'll watch over us and be with us. Be with those that are sick this day, who are struggling with a bug that typically comes this time of year. Be with them, help them to overcome. We pray that you will watch over our children, keep them safe. As we go through this world, we know the world is becoming more and more precarious as we see the days approaching to Yahshua's return. And so we ask also now that you would guide each of us, keep us on the path to redemption. Let us not waver one way or the other, but continue on as we strive to walk in the footsteps of Yahshua the Messiah. And it's his name we pray. Hallelujah. And you may be seated. We know here we are, what, 1 week left of January, and then it's on to February. And, of course, that we all know what that means as far as Yahweh's feast days go. Won't be long now. We'll have Passover and unleavened bread. We're really blessed to have the Braun family up with us last few weeks to prepare the grounds for that and get everything in shape. Something that we could never do as we're trying to juggle the pins and keep them all in the air here. And there's always something else we gotta do, we gotta worry about. And we're grateful that Mel and the boys were able to come and take care of some of that load. It's a real blessing. When I was growing up, I always had a fascination with science. I had a volume of books called the All About Books. Very simple explanations of different scientific studies. There was the book all about electricity, all about the ocean, all about outer space, all about the weather. My favorite was all about the human body. And I remember just sitting there, going through that, just poring over it. It was just fascinating to me how, you know, I can see as I was reading and trying to understand Yahweh's creation that I could live it because I've got one. And that just fascinated me. A body that can take us on the amazing journey through life in all its very many aspects. On a walk the other day, it struck me just how mind-boggling our existence on earth is today. Think about it. Think about you and this amazing gift that Yahweh gave you to take you through life. All the things we need to survive, to enjoy, to get through this life have been miraculously provided for us. Since when did we deserve each to be given our own lives to live? Ever thought about that? Think about you and how you came into existence. And how about trillions of others that haven't come into existence? But you have been given life. You have been given a way to think about yourself and think about the Creator. Our bodies are totally self-contained. We can move. We can think. We can act. We can grow. We can work. Our bodies can keep warm. Our bodies can keep cool whenever it's necessary to repair themselves and experience the joys of this world through the different senses. We can dream, we can learn, we can communicate, we can remember, we can reproduce, and continue doing it all for a lifetime. What a gift! All with knowing that something far greater can be ours someday. It's a priceless thing we have, this human life that Yahweh has blessed each of us with. But the thing is, we don't even think about it half the time. We hardly give it any thought. If it were for sale, there's no rich man on earth that could buy one. Who could afford this biological wonder called the human mind and body that you and I have gotten for free. I've often wondered if we evolve, why is it that we can't understand the process by which we supposedly evolved? How come it doesn't make any sense to us if that's how we got here? I know we've seen debates between religious people who believe in creation, and those that don't, the atheists, the evolutionists, and so forth. I've often wondered, why don't they get down to the hard questions? They always talk in theories. Then the atheist will bring up some study by some renowned other atheist. And they deal way up here in the clouds. And they never, and what gets me is that the person debating him never gets down, drills down to the basics. You know, show me why did cells act this way? Show me how did they accomplish such a thing, and then show me why. What was driving it? They never talk about stuff like that, the nitty-gritty. Science cannot explain where all the raw materials came from, and nobody ever asked them about it. Or the step-by-step how they came together and why. They just hide behind billions and trillions of years. The so-called science of evolution has to start from already existing matter and go from there. Well, the Bible starts with Yahweh and goes from there. And that makes a whole lot more sense than nothing created everything. Very first verse of the Bible explains that. Yahweh sets it out right from the beginning, so we have no problem understanding how we got here. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Well, there it is. All right there. If you don't understand it, there it is. One sentence, simple sentence. Not many words there. But you don't have to guess. In the way we're designed and function, we humans are one staggering miracle after another. I cannot understand how a medical man who delves into the body and studies it can't come away just mind just boggled at what he just saw. And how it all works together. Any aspect you talk about is just amazing. We're one staggering miracle after another. We're a wonder trove of engineering, of biology and physics and chemistry, electronics and geometry, all working together in a seamless symphony that makes us who we are. Since when did this deity called evolution, and it is a replacement religion, know anything about science? They believe that the process just went forth blindly and all these miracles just fell into place over billions and billions of years. One after another in a dizzying, endless array with no guidance, nothing driving it, just kept developing into a miraculously complex system which defies science anyway. Things don't build up and become more complex. They break down. Look at a building out here. You know, I don't know if you've seen on the internet, someone posts these once famous buildings, once famous resort areas, and they're all crumbling. You look at them, you see someone put maybe millions of dollars into these things. They're all rust. They're all rubble now. That's what happens to things naturally. They break down. This building, if we didn't upkeep it, if we weren't constantly repairing the roof and so forth, and end up a pile of dust eventually. That's how things work in this world. Not to the evolutionist. Things get better and better all by themselves. No guidance, nothing driving it. The definition of insanity is extreme foolishness or irrationality. I don't want to accuse them of insanity. I just want to accuse them of blindness. Willing blindness. It's a pretty neat but impossible trick to believe creation was driven without intelligence. That defies anything, any mind, any evidence of the world out there. Pretty neat trick. Evolution was designed so that Yahweh could be taken out of the equation, so that Yahweh does not matter in our lives, that you can live your life any way you want and not have to have a conscience bothering you all the time. Well, he isn't there, so I don't have to worry about it. So after my 70, I'm done. That's the end of it. What a hopeless, pointless life. Man doesn't need to answer to a higher power. He came here on his own, virtually, they say. He ultimately will know. He will have to answer to that power, we know. You know, they can run, but they can't hide. Well, because we were given this miraculous existence from day one of our lives, we tend to forget about it. We don't even think about it. We just get up every day, go to work, go to school, whatever we do, and not even give it another thought. All those things that are going on inside, all those things that are taking place in our bodies, we don't think about it. Well, I hope that after this message, you'll have a deep appreciation for what we are as humans and how Yahweh designed us. A priceless gift he's given to each of us. Only an infinitely intelligent creator could create this universe and us and everything else in it. It takes far more faith to believe it all happened by itself without intelligence than to see Yahweh's unlimited mind behind everything. A high-performance design in a highly complex universe. Look at our creation. Each wondrous facet of who we are and every function that we have and everything out there and how it all works in a harmony. Anything you want to look at, from bone to brain, shows mind-boggling complexity and design and function. Psalm 139, verse 13. Speaks of Yahweh's work. And I want to read this from the NIV. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. You can say that again, King David. We are about to see just how wonderfully we really are made. How do you suppose we ended up like we are? How do you suppose we ended up looking like we do and not like this? Or like this? Because Genesis 1, 26 and 27 tells us that we are fashioned in Yahweh's image. Yahweh's image. With the same kind of characteristics he has, but of course we're so much more unsophisticated in our creation compared to him. Did you know, if you look at the scriptures about the characteristics of Yahweh, the Bible says he has a shape. He has eyes and eyelids, according to Psalm 11:4. He has hair, white as wool, in Daniel 7. Ears, Psalm 18:6. Heart, Genesis 6:6. Hands and fingers, Hebrews 1. A mouth, Numbers 12:8. Lips and tongue, Isaiah 30, 27, and feet. Now, it might be more figurative than what we have, but the idea is we're designed like him. However else he's designed, we'll know one day, I guess. But right now, this is what it tells us. And unlike animals that react to most everything they experience in life, automatically by instinct, we got minds that can think, that can change, that can adapt as we learn, as Yahweh expects that we face an issue, a sin. We can learn to overcome that and not do it again. Animals have a hard time with it. We have a dog, temporarily, I guess, right now, who doesn't like the cat. And the cat comes in and he starts bearing down on him. You can punish him, you can punish him, and you can punish him. Doesn't matter. Each time he sees that cat, he's going to do the same thing. He's operating on instinct. We have minds that can think. We have a choice. We can act differently. We don't have to keep making the same stupid mistakes over and over and over and over. As Yahweh expects, he expects us to change and to grow and become like him, like Yahshua the Messiah, to make the right moral and spiritual choices. That's what Yahweh expects. He didn't create us just to waste our lives on this planet. This world is just a training and a proving ground. That's all it is. Yet most people remain either in neutral or they operate in reverse when it comes to their life. They can't get past this world. They can't think beyond this world and all of its allures and all of its temptations. They can't get past it. Yahweh has far bigger plans for his elect than this present life. This life is just a means to a much greater, more important end. His desire is for you to join in his family. Think about that. And that's for free too. You don't have to pay for that. There's no admission. Nothing you could afford anyway. None of us could. He has plans that far exceed this present life. We're going to leave this life like a butterfly leaves the cocoon. It becomes something much greater than a worm. This life is just a means to something more. If you're found worthy, he says, you can be mine. You can be in my family, my kingdom. Psalm 104 is a great psalm that reviews the wonders of creation. I want to read just the first couple of verses here. Bless Yahweh, O my soul, O Yahweh, my Elohim, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty. Who covered yourself with light as with a garment? Who stretches out the heavens like a curtain? Who lays the beams of his chambers in the waters? Who makes the clouds his chariot? Who walketh upon the wings of the wind? Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire? You know, you look at creation. Like I said before, the deeper you go into it, the human body, just look at that for instance, which is the apex, that's the best of the best of creation. You know, we're at the top of the food chain, as they say. But if you look at it and start analyzing it, you're just amazed. It isn't just birds that start their lives out as eggs. We humans do as well. But the human egg is nowhere near the size of a chicken egg. We start out at the size of a period, like in a newspaper sentence. That's how small we are, barely there. A single cell about the size of, you know, a period in a book. Your egg, the cell that began as you with half the DNA you're going to need to create you, half your genetic material, was formed by your mother. Now what's interesting is it was formed while she was an embryo. That's what I said. It was formed before she was born. Your mother was born with you already inside of her through that egg. Amazingly, Psalm 139, verse 16, makes a reference to that. It says, your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them yet existed. My unformed substance, the psalmist calls it. And then he writes that Yahweh knew you in the days you would live, and how many days you would live long before you were even born. So, that being fact, we can forget the abortionist baloney that life begins at birth. Your life, your living egg, and half of your DNA that came from your mother was in existence even before she was born. If your mother, think about this, if your mother was 20 years old when she had you, then on your 18th birthday, you're conceivably 38 years old. So you teenagers, welcome to middle age. Even when we're old, we're not really old. The cells in your body are constantly dying and wearing out, constantly, over and over and over. And being replaced so that every 10 years we got a whole new set of cells in our body. Most of them, except for maybe some neurons that don't replicate. So you're brand new every 10 years. See, Yahweh thinks of everything. Modern science understands only a minute fraction of creation's miracles. I always enjoy this. You know, when you park at a restaurant and you watch people going in. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy when they go into a restaurant. Everybody loves to eat. They love it. Everybody's smiling. That's because they're about to arouse 10,000 taste buds on their tongue and enjoy everything that food has to offer. You know, of all the parts of your body, the tongue heals the fastest. And it makes sense because, you know, we have so many billions of bacteria in our mouths, more than any part of our body. You know, if you injure it, if you burn it or cut it, you're always going to have it heal real quick, you know, so you don't get infected with all that bacteria. Makes a lot of sense. Who thought of that? Yahweh thought of it. Evolution think of it? Evolution? There's no mind there. How can it think of anything? What about food in your stomach? The stomach's hydrochloric acid is very strong. It's diluted to 0.05%, I believe, something like that. It's still very strong. It has to be powerful to break down all the different foods that we eat, all the different kinds that have to be broken down into usable molecules that the body can put into service. And this acid also kills bacteria in the stomach. I think maybe that's why Yasha wasn't all that concerned about washing hands, you know, because of what goes into the body comes out of the draft, it says. You know, your body will kill bacteria in your stomach. However, the acid in your stomach is so concentrated that if you put a drop of it on a piece of wood, it'll eat right through it. I think I was reading that it'll take a bar of zinc and just dissolve it through time. All right, so if this is the case, and your stomach digests food, why doesn't it digest itself? Thought about that? In fact, it would if there wasn't a planner behind it. There wasn't a design behind it. You see, Yahweh already thought of that. So every 5 days, the epithelial lining of your stomach is replaced with new cells. How about that? To protect your stomach so it doesn't eat itself up. All these little details we don't even think about. Yahweh thought about it in an instant. And he also thought of 1,000 other eventualities, and any one of which would kill us if they weren't anticipated beforehand. I remember a man a young man came to this minister and said, well, you know, my teacher says we came by evolution. What would be your answer? He said, well, evolution says that things happen because of outside influence. So let's say you're a human being, you're sitting there in a cave or whatever, and you cut your finger. Well, you don't have any clotting mechanism because it hasn't evolved yet. So you bled to death. That was the end of the human race. See, all of these things have to be working immediately, or none of us would survive. No man would survive for very long. It all has to be planned. Evolution anticipates nothing. It has to be influenced first to make these changes, you know. I'm losing all my blood. I better have some kind of, you know, vitamin K working and, you know, get me to clot up again. How stupid. A little bit late by that point. Let's look at a few other incredibles in the way that you were designed. Red blood cells. Your red blood cells, which get bruised and battered after traveling 1,000 miles in your bloodstream, are replaced by new cells every 3 months. You notice how they're concave shaped? Because they've got to go through the smallest veins called capillaries one at a time. And they've got to kind of bend and get through like in the tips of your fingers to get through that. So they're concave shaped, so they're flexible. Who thought of that? I guess evolution did. Anyway, they travel so fast that they can make a complete circuit in your body in 20 seconds. How about that? Do you know your blood goes that fast? 20 seconds. Your skin is your biggest organ. And it's always being damaged by we scratch it or we cut it or, you know, we pour solvents on it or just wear and tear. And so Yahweh gives you a totally new set of skin cells every 2 weeks, constantly pushing up from below, new cells coming up. What really amazes me is the eye. We could go into the eye, we could spend months talking about the intricacy of the eye and how physics is employed in the way it operates. And anyway, Because of the physics of light waves and lenses, everything we see is upside down. Did you know that? Everything you see is upside down. There it is. See the lens? You got that little candle coming in, and when it hits the back of your eye, retina, it's upside down. So the brain has to change it to right side up. Newborn babies see everything upside down until the brain can develop enough to make it right side up. Learn how to do that. How did evolution, without any brain, figure out this point of physics? I don't think it did. Speaking of sight, when you go from a dimly lit room to outside, like today, nice and bright, you overload your eyes with light because your pupils are wide open in a dimly lit room. Well, to compensate, the iris in the eye closes the pupil down so it has less light coming in, like a camera does. You know, the f-stop gets smaller, a little smaller opening. It works so well that camera manufacturers use the same technique in their cameras. And the human eye is the only multifocus lens in the world which can adjust in 2 milliseconds, 2/1000ths of a second. You can get that eye down so that damage doesn't occur. You know, I have a welder at home, and they now have developed hoods for welding that instantly change from light to dark. You can look at what you're welding at, and as soon as that spark hits, that thing turns dark. That's kind of like how the iris is. It zaps it down real quick. You see, Yahweh thinks of everything. He's mind-boggling. Evolution is mindless. And the natural universe runs by laws that Yahweh himself created. All of these bodily systems that we have, they all operate all at once. Think about it. All at once. Because any deficiency in any underdeveloped system is going to affect the whole body. You ever had a sore toe? Not a big deal, but it is to you because that's all you think about all day long. So you get up, oh, I got a sore toe. So you start limping around. Hopefully it gets better. If these systems didn't all operate perfectly together all at one time, we'd have perished a long time ago. You see, in evolution, all these things have to come together at the same time. There's no way. Not a trillion, billion, many years as you want to go. You'll never have these things all operating together right in synchronously. Make up a word here. In sync with all the rest of the other systems. It all has to be perfect. Well, how can one system be evolving while the others are working? Well, the others aren't going to work if the other one isn't there yet. Can't happen. Simply can't happen. Your nervous system, circulatory system, lymph system, all your organs, your senses, your muscle and skeletal systems, all must be up and running perfectly, functioning all at the same time well because they all work in unison. That's the way we operate. All systems integrate via the brain. There's nerves running from your eye. They go back to your brain. The brain interprets it. Taste buds, nerves that go back to your brain so the brain can taste it. All of these things. The brain operates the heart. It operates all the nervous systems and all the autonomous systems. All of it operated by the brain. The brain is phenomenal. Just unbelievably complicated. Protoplasm. You know, if a non-functioning blob like protoplasm sitting there on the ground is like a puddle, it can't do anything. It has to have systems in place, it has to have bones in place, muscles in place. Otherwise, it's just a blob, not doing anything, can't do anything, but lay there. Romans 1:19 says, because that they may be known of Elohim, that which may be known of Elohim is manifest in them, for Elohim has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. There it is. Look at these things, the intricacy, the just astronomical design to them. And the only thing you can conclude is they had a designer who's far superior to anything made. There was a brain behind it, a mind. Even his eternal power and majesty, so that they are without excuse. There it is. The evolutionist has no excuse. He just hides behind billions of years. Because when they knew Elohim, they glorified him not as Elohim, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I like this part. Professing themselves wise, they became fools. Thinking they have all the answers, they sound foolish. Because they don't understand square one and can't explain it as far as creation goes. They can't explain where everything came from, how it all started. A female's ovaries produce 500,000 eggs, but only 400 have a chance to produce a human being. We all began as a single fertilized cell. Of all the 250 different types of cells in our body, they all started from just one cell. That one cell replicates and replicates, and at some point, different sets of genes are turned on and others are turned off so that those cells become different things. Muscle cell, neurons, bones. Something happens somewhere to make that one cell divide into all sorts of different cells that produce the different systems, produce the different parts of the body that we have. From the spherical fat cell to the thin branching nerve cell. Totally different cell. Scientists still have no idea what triggers that process of cell differentiation to become lungs, brain, teeth, skin, muscle, and all the other highly specialized parts of the body. Not only that, but to be, this is what just amazes me, to be located as designed and not, say, putting your stomach up here where your head is, or put a leg bone projecting from your head. Imagine 6.5 billion people, and they all come out right, with everything in the right place. How did that happen? What makes these cells gravitate to the right spot so that they can develop a head, an arm, a leg, or whatever it might be? What does that? All having the right organs in exactly the right place. How come things aren't switched around once in a while? Well, there are anomalies, of course, but those things are anomalies. They're not normal. Only Yahweh could orchestrate and carry it out as he does. You know, your body's cells are miracles in themselves. I think Elder Randy gave a talk one time on this. Just, they're a factory. They're a city in themselves. Little bitty cell. Each of the 100 trillion cells in your body does a few million other things every second just to keep you alive and functioning. Little cities with factories, transportation systems, communication systems, energy creation, receiving and processing nutrients, manufacturing proteins, turning raw materials in the food you eat into the molecules your body needs by complex chemical reactions. And then replicating themselves through DNA so each cell is exactly like its parent. It is totally mind-boggling. If we had time, we could detail the many other functions the cell does. So complex, so necessary for life. Such as dealing with invaders called viruses. About viruses, these nasty little enemies inject their DNA in a host cell so that the host cell changes its genetic makeup and starts pumping out more viruses. That's why when you get sick, if you don't have a good, healthy immune system, you get sicker because more and more viruses are being created all the time. Where did the virus learn to infiltrate cells and make them start producing more viruses? Oh, just by itself, millions of years, billions of years. Just kind of thought about it for a while, and then, oh, I'll put my DNA in that cell. I'll make more of me. With no brain, how did it know that genetic material is the key to making more viruses. How did it even know what genetic material was? Oh no, no brain behind it. To accomplish something so highly complex as to wage a cellular war against your body. You know, science has only recently understood this, how it works. They find that they can stop that virus from injecting that cell. They can control the virus. What motivates the virus? And why do they want to make more viruses anyway? Think about it. Don't they know if they kill their host, they die too? No, they don't. They're just acting as they were designed. Because man sinned, Yahweh brought on death and disease to deal with it. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eat of thereof, you shall surely die. Now, why didn't Adam and Eve just die right then? Well, that's not really what it says. It says, you shall die. It's a process. See, they had the potential to keep on living in paradise as long as they did what Yahweh said. But they turned against him, so the process of death started. Their lives became limited. They had an end point before they didn't. The health issues that resulted ultimately lead to our demise because of sin. And each cell has to know what every other cell is doing, otherwise your body would self-destruct. The human body can function only if it is precisely synchronized with all the other parts and cells and trillions of different things going on. And all this can happen only through coordination. How else could 100 trillion cells all doing 1 million things each second synchronize their activities to support life without a designer, without a communication system at the very least? How else could a human body generate thoughts, process nutrients, remove toxins, heal itself, carry out metabolism, smile at a baby, or even make a baby, all at the same time? How does this miracle learn and blindly carry out all of this, as the evolutionist believes? Well, the Bible has the answer to him. Psalm 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no Elohim. I don't get it. How can any scientist look at creation and not see that we are woefully inadequate to explain it without the scriptures? Believe it happened on its own, without any intelligence driving it. The one who can, the Bible says, is a fool. He's just a fool. He's shutting his mind out to it. Acts 17:28. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we also are his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of Elohim, we ought not to think that the majesty is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. Paul wrote, Your nose can detect 50,000 different scents. 50,000 different scents. Your blood circulates through 60,000 miles of vessels, more than twice around the earth. If you could harness all the power in your heart that it produces in just one day, it could lift a car twice the height of this building. That's how much strength can come from one heart in one day. In a single drop of blood, 400,000 infection-fighting white blood cells are constantly patrolling and seeking out foreign agents like viruses, bacteria, cancer cells, and attacking them. You know, if we didn't have that, we'd be sick about every day of our lives. Any bacteria that comes in, we'd succumb to it. Yeah, we get sick once in a while, but look at all the days we are healthy and free of sickness. Because we have an immune system that's constantly working. Stem cells throughout the body can be made into any specialized cell. They're kind of like standing in the background, waiting in the wings till something serious comes about, and they start producing whatever cell is needed. Amazing. Yahweh had a backup system to a backup system, standing by until they have to deal with an emergency. You know, they say that your liver can reproduce itself. Cut away the liver, within a matter of time, you got a new liver. It's the only organ that can do that. And then, of course, there's the brain. The brain. Consider a simple miracle of motion. I'm laying there. I want to get up from a chair. I want to move a finger. Do you know what it takes to get the message down to move that finger? A signal from the brain to create a nerve impulse to travel through the brain's cerebral cortex, through the nerves in the spine, out to the muscle controlling the finger. The muscle gets the electrical message at 270 miles an hour. Quite amazing. But where did the thought come from? That is the mystery. That is the mystery. You see, before the thought, there was no energy. Where did the thought come from? No electrical impulse there, nothing. Just the brain sitting there doing its thing. How and why did the brain marshal the energy to create the thought to move the finger? Science can't tell you. They can't answer the genesis of thought. The brain is beyond man's understanding because now we're entering the spiritual. Here's how one neuroscientist explained the brain to the National Geographic magazine. Quote, as you learn where vision is, where I control my hand from, where speech is located, you begin to feel like I'm understanding this circuitry. And I think I understand how the brain works. And then you get into it a little more deeply, and then you realize you don't know very much at all. The wonder of the human brain is sort of one of those great frontiers. That's the truth, he says. The more you learn, the dumber you realize you are. This is Arthur Toga at the Laboratory of Neuroimaging at UCLA. Well, over in Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44:24. Yahweh speaks to his creation of man. He says, thus says Yahweh, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. Interesting. Even from your mother's womb. Even from her mother's womb. I am Yahweh that makes all things, that stretch forth the heavens alone, that spreads abroad the earth by myself, that frustrateth the tokens of the liars and maketh diviners mad, that turned wise men backward and maketh their knowledge foolish. Have you ever wondered, one feast years ago, you maybe remember the campground, they made a mistake and they put little narrow beds in the rooms. Do you remember that? Only like this wide. Kids, children's mattresses is what they were. But since they were a state agency, they couldn't go back on it, so we just had to use it. And I thought, how in the world can we sleep on these things? A lot of people didn't, but some tried. What's amazing is nobody fell out of them. Why? Why? Did you know why you don't fall out of bed at night? Yahweh figured that out long before you. During REM sleep, rapid eye movement, that's the deep sleep when you're dreaming and stuff. Our bodies become completely paralyzed as areas of the brain that control movement are deactivated. It's this that stops us from falling out of bed. We can't move. Did you know that the human brain stops growing at age 18? That's when a lot of teens think that they begin to know everything. Their brain stops working then. Isn't that interesting? About the age of accountability, almost, in the 19th year, you know. And that men listen with the left side of the brain while women use both sides of the brain. I didn't know that. Maybe that's one reason your wife doesn't miss anything. She also ties emotions to experience and memories. You know, I ask her sometime, do you remember what we did to, January of 2003, we took that trip. Oh, yeah. I just bought those new shoes, and I had that red dress on. And what? How do you know that? Because she ties emotions, the feelings, into that experience. Men don't do that, so they forget a lot. She doesn't miss much, I'll tell you that. Psalm 139:14, and I'm going to close with this. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows right well. All it takes is a little bit of investigating, looking at the creation, as Yahweh said we do, and learn that this marvelous universe that we're in all had a design. And when you know it has a designer, you want to know, what does he expect of me? Is this just a dead end? I live my life, my 70 years, whatever, then I'm gone? Is that what it's all about? What a hopeless situation if you have no hope in Yahweh. People die every day. Some understand more of the truth than others. But everybody dies. And everybody one day will be held accountable in some way. This is the message we're trying to get out to people, that Yahweh has a message for each of us, that one day we can be in that kingdom, that we can one day serve him. And then we'll know everything that he knows about creation. We'll say, oh yeah, the light will go on, and oh, that's how that works. Amazing. And we'll be amazed too that Yahweh will show us, I'm sure, these things that right now we see through a dark glass. One day we're going to see it purely, clearly. And what a day that'll be. May we all be there. May Yahweh bless you.